Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, final hour of power right here on a Wednesday night. Islanders Tampa Bay getting set from Edmonton for game 2 of the Eastern Conference Final. Game 1 was a blowout. See if the Barry Trotz-led Islanders can strike the match and get even at 1-1. We will keep you up to date on that. You know, here's the thing. I would, again, you know, maybe I'm a little bit too optimistic. I always do this where I'm like, you know, I see the possibilities. I see the upside in people. And a lot of times they never last, right? Or they never make it. Like, for instance, you know, with Troy Apke, I mean, we don't know if Troy Apke is going to be really good when the lights come on, for sure. We just don't know. Like, I saw some glimpses of it last year. And I know people were still down on him last year. I don't quite know why, especially when comparing him to Monte Nicholson, who stunk. But I saw some glimpses last year. I saw occasionally the light turn on. San Francisco game in the monsoon of rain. There was another game, I can't remember which game it was. But again, where I saw at least a little something. And now I've seen dramatic improvement from that, but it's only practice, right? And if we all saw it in preseason games, we'd say, well, yeah, that's great, but it's only preseason games. We got to see it in the regular season. So hopefully we'll see it starting this week. You know, like, we would love, I would love nothing better for Zach Ertz to be running up the hash and for Troy Apke legally to light him up. Not a hard, not a helmet to helmet hit or anything like that. Just a hard separating type hit, right? Ball bounces out of his hands, that type of thing. That's going to get some people fired up, because we know this. Troy Apke's got more speed than anybody they've had at free safety ever. Well, not ever, since Sean Taylor. I mean, he's got more speed than anybody they've had at that position. He just does, period. End of story, end of argument. And I've seen him lay the lumber when he's not really supposed to be making hard contact. So as long as he does it legally, I think he'll be okay. And I know he can hit. And I know he can run. And I know he's more comfortable in terms of seeing everything. Why? Because he was raw coming out of Penn State. And now he's got 2 years of NFL practice, film study, work, dedication, all of that, and the opportunity. You think this coaching staff signed Sean Davis for a 1 year, $5 million deal, $2 million guaranteed, with the thought that, hey, we're going to cut him at the end of camp because Troy Apke is going to be the guy we're going to cut him for? No, not at all. Not at all. They were planning, probably, I don't want to speak for them, to have Sean Davis as the starting free safety. I know that. And, hey, maybe Cameron Curl is as good as we think he is. Maybe he'll be the backup free safety. Or maybe he won't. Maybe it'll be Apke and maybe we'll have to cut him. And he'll be on the practice squad. Or Jeremy Reeves or whatever. And ultimately, it was Sean Davis. See ya. And obviously, Cameron Curl emerged. And so did Apke. And Jeremy Reeves got cut. So what I'm trying to get at is, like, I see the optimism. I feel the optimism for certain guys. And I do this at the beginning of every season. And I think we all do. Hey, if this guy is really actually, you know, better, right? But then sometimes they disappoint. But I would also say this. Last year at this time, and I think Sean brought it up before the show as we were just chit-chatting, you know, last year at this time, sure, there was some buzz from, you know, Hoffman and Keim and J.P. Finley about Terry McLaurin. Oh, man, this guy's going to be the real deal. This guy's going to be the real deal. But nobody had seen him in preseason games, right? He didn't play in the preseason. And he was expected to be a special teams demon and a receiver second. And it turns out he played three snaps on special teams. And he was awesome. And he would have been more awesomer if he would have played 16 games instead of 14. And if he would have had a legitimate quarterback situation, which he did not. So what I'm saying is sometimes we overrate guys at this part of the season. Sometimes we underrate guys, right? Like, I mean, it's very possible that we're going to overhype Troy Apke and maybe Antonio Gibson, but we're going to undersell, I don't know, Marcus Ball or even Logan Thomas, or that we're going to undersell Kevin Pierre-Louis, even though the coaches love him. Or that we're going to undersell, Ron Darby, right? Again, even though most people that have been around the team view him as the number one corner on the team, you know, there wasn't a lot of buzz with signing Ronald Darby. So my point of the matter is yes, we might overhype and oversell some guys, but we're also underselling and underhyping certain guys. So it should probably balance out, right? It should probably balance out. The guys that we're hyping maybe aren't as good as the hype. The guys that we're not hyping maybe are better than we think. Think, you know, kind of how Matt Ioannidis' career has evolved, right? Nobody was hyping him except this dummy. I called him the steal of the draft or the diamond in the rough or whatever I did back in 2015. And it's turned out, I mean, at first it was a disaster, and he got cut, and rightfully so, and he's salvaged his career and flourished. I mean, I could have never predicted this success, but I really liked Ioannidis coming out of Temple on tape. I really did. And I'm glad it's worked out for him. But my point being is, we're going to overhype Troy Apke. We're probably going to overhype Antonio Gibson. Like, I don't know. I asked Scott Turner this today, and Turner's like, well, I really have to judge it based on what I've seen in practice and what I've seen in the film room. You know, like, how do you not overburden Antonio Gibson? And when he plays, because I don't even know if he's going to play this week, Antonio Gandy-Golden. You know, like, how do you not overburden them? How do you make sure that you don't give too much to them so that they're making rookie and mental mistakes? Because I've seen that a little bit out of Antonio Gibson in training camp, right? Where his head was swimming. And Ron even said 2 weeks ago, kid's confused, as well he should be, right? So how do you make sure that early on in the season, you use them and you sprinkle them in, not Jeremy Sprinkle, but you don't overdo it and you don't kind of put too much on their plate. By the way, the Islanders just went up 1-0 in the Eastern Conference Final, Twitter tells me, a minute and 24 seconds in. Matt Martin with the goal for Barry Trotz's boys. So they're up 1-0 over the Tampa Bay Lightning to start game two of the Eastern Conference Finals. But the point being is, like, how do you make sure that they are mentally ready? I know physically they're ready. I mean, even Gandy Golden, right? He practiced in full today after missing, you know, basically a week and a half, 2 weeks with a concussion. He was raw and behind before the injury. He's even more raw and behind now. Like, I don't know if he's going to play just because he was healthy or just because he was cleared or just because he was a full I think he'll be a part of the mix, but I don't know for sure on Sunday. I mean, I know at some point early on in the season he will be, but I don't know for sure. I mean, if you look at it, you say McLaurin, Inman, Sims, Steven Sims, meaning, and, you know, then are you only taking four receivers up? Are you taking five on your game day 40? I guess it's 47, but Ron said today that they could have 48 if they take a certain amount of offensive linemen. The rules are all different this year. So I guess it's 48. You know, if you're taking 48, you probably take five receivers because they're going to help you out on special teams. And then it's, again, it's McLaurin, it's Sims, it's Inman, who else am I thinking about? Hello. Trying to remember. And then maybe, again, if you take five, then you probably can take both, Antonio Gandy Golden and you take the rookie Isaiah Wright. But if you only take four, then I guess it's a, you know, kind of a split between the two. If you're only taking four, because the first three are known. And then it's, okay, we have to make a decision between Isaiah Wright and Antonio Gandy Golden. And I think Isaiah Wright would get that decision right now if they're only taking four. Because remember, they also feel that McKissick and Gibson can serve essentially as receivers, and they're right. So they might not take more than four natural receivers on game day. To have an extra offensive lineman, to have an extra defensive lineman, to have somebody extra on special teams, or whatever the case might be. I know they're going to take extra offensive linemen, right? So it might come down to, it will come down to probably Isaiah Wright versus Antonio Gandy Golden. And I think Isaiah Wright early on gets the nod because he's been practicing, and he wasn't as raw apparently as Antonio Gandy Golden was, at least in Ron Rivera's words a couple of weeks ago. And you can't get unraw by not practicing. And AGG hasn't practiced until just now. So I wouldn't expect him to be active. I could be wrong. But so again, my expectations for him are a little bit tempered. Like, I kind of see, like, second half, kind of how we saw Steven Sims and Kelvin Harmon emerge in the second half last year. That's what I see with AGG. From the start, I expect Isaiah Wright to be active on game day and to be at least a special teamer and maybe in on some packages. You know, maybe running a jet sweep type of thing and doing it that way. So I think, again, the overall moral of the story is I think we overhype some guys, but we undersell some other guys. Like, I know we're underselling Isaiah Wright. I know that. Maybe we're underselling Marcus Ball or Logan Thomas. I know we're underselling J.D. McKissick. Even though people were up in arms about him being the starting running, no, he was only listed the starting running back because they had to list somebody. I mean, that was the dumbest and most absurd thing that anybody had ever thought. I mean, I love J.D. McKissick. He's not going to be the starting running back unless they're in a certain package. You know, an 11 set, which they run all the time. And maybe you get Gibson and McKissick to give the Eagles something to really look at right from the get-go and split one of them out wide, that type of thing. And you kind of get their eyes going all over the place. And then maybe you just run straight up the gut with one of them or you, a short pass or whatever to the tight end, but you just give them something to look at, you know, a seed to look at, and you plant the seed. That's what I see. But I'm not like overhyping anybody, I don't think. I mean, my expectations are reasonable for Antonio Gibson. My expectations are reasonable for Troy Apke. My expectations are more than reasonable for AGG, for Isaiah Wright. I mean, I don't have any expectations for Sadiq Charles because he missed so much practice time. Like, if we see Sadiq Charles play a lot, it'll be in the second half of the season, period. If Jaron Christian stinks or gets hurt, David Sharp is playing ahead of Sadiq Charles, in my opinion. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We'll take a timeout. We'll finish up the Washington football team talk on the other side, and then we'll get into some Nats and some Caps to finish up the show. If you want to hop in, 800-636-1067 on the AAA Always On-Call Listener Line, 800-636-1067 on the Fan. All right, good to have you with us here on a Wednesday night. Final 30 minutes or so of the radio show, Graham. Take you up till 9 o'clock. What's coming up at 9, Sean? Is that Tech Talk Live? Did I see that right?
Yes, sir.
Ah, Tech Talk Live. There you go. So stay tuned for that. Then CBS Sports Radio. After that, I'm going to go watch me some hockey. Islanders and the Tampa Bay Lightning going at it in game two of the Eastern Conference Finals and final. And I'm going to do all my work. And I'm going to put together podcasts. And I'm going to put together columns. And I'm going to beat my head against the wall and stay up way too late or pass out on my couch and faceplant my computer. But that's what I'm going to do. I hope you have a good night as well. All right, let's get back to the calls. Oh, by the way, I wanted to say hello to my pal Aaron Hawksworth, who happens to be listening. I don't know if she still is listening, but Hawk, we miss you and hope you're doing well. Always good to hear from you. All right, before 8:30, we want to say hello to Chris in Waldorf, Maryland, on the Fan. Hey, Chris, how are you, pal?
Hey, I'm doing okay.
What's going on?
My call.
Yeah, thanks for making it.
You know what? I feel underwhelmed by what's happening with our wide receiver core. You know, you have basically a bunch of, you know, young, shorter guys with the exception of AGG and Dontrell Inman. And Dontrell Inman last year only had 181 yards. There's an opportunity out there where we can get Hakeem Butler or Mohamed Sanu. Well, you know, Sanu has instant chemistry with Haskins coming in the door as his mentor. And, you know, Butler, on the other end, has a lot of the intangibles that you look for in an ideal possession receiver. I'm not sure why we're not even bringing them in for a workout. It's like they're focused on having a great defense, but really are like right. Whatever happens with the offense happens.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up. I mean, obviously, you know, Sanu for New England to give up on him as early, you know, that might tell you something. Number one, number two, you got to remember too. And I'm just trying to explain. I'm not justifying it. They, Ron believes very much in going young. And I mean, more younger than I thought he would be. He stresses that. So they love Isaiah Wright and they want to give him every opportunity to really make, you know, an impact. And again, AGG is a little bit behind, but I think they want to give him every opportunity, obviously. That's number one. Number two, you know, it is harder to bring in guys nowadays, right? A guy like Mohamed Sanu might not want to come in for a workout. He might want just a job on the surface. Well, you could say, well, shoot, they should give him one, right? Okay, but I mean, you know, you don't want to give him one until after week one because then his contract is guaranteed. So I think what we're going to see is less guys coming in off the street because of A, how difficult the process is, number one. And number two, we will not see it as much this week as we may see it next week. Like if somebody gets injured in that group, certainly you'll see it. Or if they're really underwhelming against Darius Slay and the rest of the Eagles mishmash at corners, you might see one of those guys. Because if you sign after week one, your contract for the rest of the year is not fully guaranteed when you're a veteran. So maybe that's part of the process as well, or thought process, I should say.
Well, Chris, I would argue, you know, when you talked about Mohamed Sanu being dropped by the Patriots, you know, outside of their slot possession or slot receivers, none of their receivers have ever been that good, with the exception of like Randy Moss. And, you know, because they have a really, really difficult scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I get what they're trying to give young guys opportunities, but we only have literally two possession receivers on the roster, and one has a concussion, and the other one only got 186 yards last year. To say that we have a veteran type receiver in house is laughable.
That's a more than fair criticism. I agree with you. Now Haskins, for whatever it's worth, Terry McLaurin today said, for, you know, again, for whatever it's worth, Chris, he said, look, you know, I've learned some things from Dontrell Inman. I mean, he's a professional. He knows, you know, so it's comforting for him. So I agree with you that they certainly could use a little bit more assurance there. And again, I don't want to say they will definitely do it, but I think it's more likely next week, you know, than this week. Just, I've been around the NFL long enough to know how these teams operate. They don't want to pay the guaranteed contracts. If you're on the week one roster and you're a vested veteran, you're getting paid guaranteed whether they move on from you or not. So teams take that seriously, even though, you know, maybe a Mohamed Sanu or somebody like that is not going to cost you a ton of money, I don't think, anyway. They just don't want to do it. So, again, I think we'll see more of that. I think teams want to go in with, hey, this is what we saw in practice. Plus, if you sign a guy like Sanu today, right, just for argument's sake, even though they had an extra day, even if they signed him yesterday, right, if they got him through the workout protocol and all that, great. Who's to say that he's going to be like ready to go week one, week two? I mean, can you put him out there? I guess, sure. But I mean, who's to say that he's going to be really comfortable and really of use? So you might as well wait and then try and bring him in when you don't have to keep him if he sucks.
Yeah, I think that they probably would likely, you know, not make whoever they sign wouldn't be active that first week, regardless, just because of how late they are in the game.
Right.
But that, you know, the sooner they get in, the sooner they can get the book in their hands and get them learning what they need to do. I understand where you're saying with the week one, and you know, the NFL is creatures of habit, and you're right that they probably will sign somebody after week one, but it's just missing out on an opportunity because there may be other teams that are also looking. And they could get somebody now. They are fifth ranked on how much cap space that they have.
Yep.
And neither one of these guys would cost a whole heck of a lot of money. They already are on the waiver wires.
No, you're right. That's a more than fair point. They have plenty of wiggle room. And just to add to your point, which was my original point, you know, next week a lot of the teams are going to be doing the same thing. They're going to be because they don't want to pay the week one guaranteed salary, they're all going to be in the mix. So if you're willing to do that with all that cap room, $25 million roughly, maybe a little bit more depending on what service you use, the league actually had it at the players union had it at like $32 million yesterday. You know, maybe you grab a guy now that you don't have to contend necessarily with a bunch of other teams for, with injuries and because of the week two, week one thing, whatever, next week. But, you know, again, listen, the one thing I will say about this staff is they want to see the young guys play, number one. And number two, they don't seem to be like going for broke and desperate like most fans, most pundits, most media want them to be. Now, whether they're right or wrong, you know, I think you're going to have to live with some pedestrian young player mistakes and some results that are uneven in the first four, five, six games as they kind of get their feet wet. That's the problem with going with a lot of young players. But hopefully, if you've got the right young players, they grow, they get better, like Sims and Harmon did kind of, you know, towards the end, even Haskins towards the end of last year. And then they grow all together. And then all of a sudden, everything starts to take off. So, hopefully, things will, you know, be okay. I kind of feel good about this game. I don't know, Chris, maybe I'm crazy, but I kind of feel good, about this game. But I appreciate the phone call, man. I got to let you run. We're, way past our break here at the bottom of the hour. Chris and Waldorf, good call. Appreciate him. 800-636-1067. I got some thoughts on the Nats and the Caps coming up in our final 20 minutes or so together right here on a Wednesday night. Overtime on the Fan. All All right, final 20 minutes or so of the radio program. Good to have you with us. Right here. A little C Nation, huh? What's going on with John Cena these days, Sean? Do you know? I mean, I saw his like back and back for WrestleMania. And now he's completely been gone. Is he ever coming back? I guess he's not ever coming back on a full-time basis, right? Is he ever coming back, period? Or have I missed something? I don't even know what's going on with that. Do you know?
I don't know for sure. I know he's been in a lot of movies. I think he's going to be in the upcoming Suicide Squad movie.
Oh, okay. So he's been busy doing all that.
Right.
Which, you know, the WWE loves because of obviously the mainstream audience that it connects with. You know, the problem is it takes them off of TV for, you know, 4, 5, 6 months, whatever it might be. And when you don't have Brock Lesnar, you just got Roman Reigns back.
Paul Heyman.
Yeah. Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns. How about that? Interesting. We'll see what happens in terms of that. The Islanders just had a 5-minute major penalty, power play. They had 5 shots on goal and they got no goals. Yikes. Tampa Bay Lightning getting some momentum from that, down 1-0. I believe I didn't miss a goal here. I'm trying to kind of fish through hockey Twitter. 1-0, Matt Martin's goal. So we'll keep you up to date, on that one. Speaking of hockey, kind of mentioned this at the beginning of the show. So I'll get into it now. Maybe I'm missing it. I don't know. I've been really, 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 really busy with the old football team. But I just have not heard anything with the Washington Capitals. I mean, like, they had a news blurb today that they raised like $2.3 million for charities last year, which is awesome. They do a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous job. You know, but I gotta also be honest with you, that's kind of not the news blurb fans are kind of looking for, you know? They want to find out who the new head coach is going to be. Now, they are, I don't want to say they're a secretive organization, but they do a really good job of not just chirp, 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 chirping. And they've got the media, I don't want to say trained, but it's not like the Washington football media, which is so cutthroat. And, you know, everybody, well, not everybody, but there's been, you know, so many stories leaked over the years. And there's always people that are, and I'm one of them, thirsting, dying for information. The Capitals are a little bit different. Like, they will leak certain things, you know, to whoever, kind of constructively and strategically, but they don't leak a lot of stuff, quite honestly. And I'm looking through everything that I have, and again, I'm sure I would have heard it at some point. I don't see anything about, like, even rumors who they're interviewing. Now, unless I'm missing something from reports in Canada, that, again, I didn't see. I don't see anything. So they moved on from Todd Reirden on August 23rd. It's now September the 9th. And I understand, like, you know, want to make sure you do it right and you do your due diligence. And maybe because there aren't a lot of teams that fired their coaches, maybe it allows you to do things differently. Reirden found a job in 4 days back with the Penguins as an associate head coach, or maybe a top-level assistant. I don't know if his title is officially associate head coach. But there's been, like, there are some big names out there in terms of candidates. Like, you would have thought the national hockey media, now, everybody's busy with games. I got it. And normally at this time of the year, we don't have playoff games. I got it. But you would have thought, you know, the Bob McKenzies or the Elliot Friedmans or the E.J. Raddix or somebody like that, you know, would have had something. I mean, Brian McClellan must be like on some yacht somewhere out in the middle of France, off the shore of France, interviewing people, right? I would think. Probably not. Knowing Mac, he's probably in his office in Kettler or MedStar Capital Siceplex, you know, banging away on the computer all day, interviewing people on Skype. Well, I mean, we haven't heard anything. There's Peter Laviolette, nothing. There's Gerard Gallant, nothing. Mike Babcock, nothing. Those are just the three top guys. Never mind if you go, you know, with somebody that's kind of off the radar screen, that's a hot young assistant. You know, again, I think they're going to go for a veteran coach. I mean, Mac made that pretty clear, and they have a history of not going with veteran coaches outside of Barry Trotz. And, oh, by the way, that kind of worked. Even though, ultimately, it took 4 years to win a Stanley Cup and to get past the second round. I think you're going to do the veteran coach thing, and maybe you're trying desperately to keep leverage here so that, again, Laviolette, Babcock, and Gerard Gallant, just the three guys that come up, you know, I think in most conversations, just so that they don't start, again, getting leverage. You're trying, you know, you want them to keep it secret. But, I mean, all these teams want stuff to stay secret. And yet, it always leaks. And here we are in the Capitals 2+ week. It's September 9th. They let go of Todd Reirden on August 23rd. That's like 17 days ago. That's more than 2 weeks. And nothing. Not even a rumor that I've seen. That's pretty incredible when you sit down and think about it. Unless I'm missing something. I don't think I am. I mean, like a legitimate, credible, like, hey, they interviewed, they met with such and such. Not, hey, Mike Babcock's a cat. Really, no bleep, Sherlock. I know that. So it's just kind of weird that we're at this stage in the process and we haven't heard anything. We have not heard anything. They'll get a head coach. There's plenty to choose from. That's part of the reason why they moved on from Todd Reirden. But the question is who will it be? I think it should be Laviolette. I mean, Gerard Gallant is not going to inspire me. I'm not saying he's not a good coach because, like, honestly, when the Philadelphia Flyers hired Alain Vigneault from the Rangers and subsequently when the, or I guess previously when the Rangers hired Alain Vigneault, I didn't think he was that great of a coach either, but a lot of people love him. And a lot of people think he's a damn good coach. And you know what? For the most part, he's proven that absolutely true. So maybe I'm missing something on Gerard Gallant. I mean, obviously, I know Gerard Gallant led his team to the Stanley Cup final in year one. Duh, I was there. I know that. So I'm not saying he's a bad coach by any means. He's a good coach. I'm just talking about something that, you know, if you're looking to kind of wake up some sleepy players, if you're looking to tap into the Jacob Vranas of the world, if you're looking to elevate the Evgeny Kuznetsov experience to where, like, it's something you can count on, to me, Gerard Gallant is not that guy. I don't think Mike Babcock is that guy either. He's a hard ass. He's grum. He's grumpy. He's real kind of dour in his personality. Not that, again, not that that always means everything. But to me, Laviolette is the guy that and I could be wrong on that. He's won a cup. He's been very successful. Yes, he's been fired. Yes, he was fired from Nashville. I got it. Laviolette's the best choice that's out there. Laviolette's the best choice. And I hope it's not about money. I hope it's not like, oh, we're going to choose somebody because they only want $3 million a year as opposed to five. I hope it's not about that. I really hope it's not about that because they got plenty of money. They got plenty of money. Even during a pandemic, they've got plenty of money. But just because you spend money on a big-time coach, look at what happened with the Wizards. Scott Brooks, I mean, you know, Scott Brooks is a nice guy, But he hadn't turned around the Wizards. A bunch of injuries, obviously. I get it. But he hadn't turned around the Wizards. So you got to be careful with that, too. You got to get the right guy. Laviolette's the right guy, in my opinion. All right, I'm way late for the break, as usual. We'll come back. We'll tie the bow on some Nationals as we get you set for their series coming up against the Atlanta Braves. We'll do that next, right here on The Fan. My dad would just listen to the station WCBS-FM out of New York, which is an Entercom-owned station. A very different era, obviously, but... You know, like, as everybody was listening to, like, Duran Duran and the New Kids on the Block, you know, I was listening to, you know, and Vanilla Ice. I was listening to oldies music and Motown. And, you know, of course, you know, again, the Beatles were huge, as they obviously remain with a certain section of the audience. So was Elvis Presley, obviously, again, with a certain section of the audience. I just don't know if all of the great music and the great musicians and the great artists that I grew up on that were in the 50s and the 60s and the early 70s would just, you know, would they even be able to make it as new artists, if you will, as new performers in today's society? I mean, I guess that maybe that's a dumb question. I don't know, but it just doesn't seem like a great fit. I can tell you that much, right? If you put that song on the radio right now, there's no chance. There's no chance it survives. No chance. Zero. No chance. All right. The Nationals are off tonight, as you probably know, because otherwise we would be airing a Nationals game. So a little break-sy for the boys, and they're going to have a couple of days off here over the next week before things get a little hairy again for the final week and a half of the season. They have tonight off. I think it's next Monday and I want to say next Thursday. I could be wrong on that. I could be slightly off on that, but I believe that's the case. They've won 4 out of 5. The last time I was on the radio, Monday morning for the Junks, I said, hey, you know, you split a 4-game set in Atlanta. Sweep the Rays for me. Best record in the American League. Second best record in Major League Baseball. Sweep the Rays for me, and then we'll talk. And what do you know? The Nationals went out, and granted, just a 2-game series, they swept the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, listen, that can happen to any team, whatever. Not a big deal. But they got great pitching performance on Monday from Max Scherzer. Anibal Sanchez was pretty good last night. The bullpen got a little dicey at the end, but they buckled down, held on, 1-5-3. They got offense. They got Soto back. So now, all of a sudden, things are, okay, looking maybe a little bit better. Now, listen, they're still 16-25. They're still 9 games under .500. Still long, long, long way to go. But at least they've got a little sign of life, a little pep in their step, little juice going into a 4-game set at home this weekend with the Atlanta Braves. Take 3 of 4, and all of a sudden you're, what, 6 games under .500? I guess it would be. You know, then we can talk. I know I said we'll talk after sweeping the Rays. I need you to do more now. Can't split, can't lose 3 out of 4. I need you to take 3 of 4, and preferably a sweep. All right, that's tomorrow night's action, Nationals, Braves, and followed by the Chiefs and the Texans. Thanks to Sean. Thanks to Scott Abraham from ABC7. Thanks to you guys for listening and calling and being a part of the show. Enjoy Tech Talk Live and CBS Sports Radio. See you on Saturday morning. Adios.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.